Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, folks, it's now or never, and if we're going to make an impact, I'm giving you exactly the kind of impact we need to do regarding the Bolshevik Revolution. I mean, there's no better slap in the face for these idiots, these useful idiots that are trying to execute this shift to communism than to actually use the Constitution to completely remove this Biden puppet administration. Now, I hope you appreciate the fact that the people that have the interest in controlling the world have a lot of resources, have a lot of money, and they don't take kindly. I mean, look at what the Clintons were capable of in just trying to obtain power. I just know this. If they find me cut up in the freezer, don't believe the suicide note, okay? And press forward, even without me, because you have to start moving on your own. What we want to do is we want to finish up these motions, and actually, I will just tell you real quick, I've already had some engagements with a couple of different state legislators with less than a day's notice, and so I probably expect to see even more, because I'm going to actually tap those on the shoulder who we have actually worked with in the past, and hopefully we will be able to get them, at least get their attention so that they can reach out to their district attorney and attorney general and actually engage this lawsuit. So the whole point is that even though every U.S. citizen has standing when it comes, as far as injury goes, we all have standing regarding the Constitution when it is being violated. So in other words, Congress chose not to follow the Constitution and they put in this puppet regime, then it seems like everybody was injured and everybody would have a right to actually sue Congress for doing what they did. Now, the Supreme Court is, if you want to call it, they have grandstanding. This is literally stonewalling, because what they do is they just try to deplete you by not allowing you to advance forward, by using the exact same argument. When, if you look at the legal side of this, standing doesn't necessarily mean that you alone were injured, but if you can prove that you were injured with the fact that we have a right, by rule of law, by the Republican form of government, we have a right to have our government function the way it is supposed to function. Just because they want to be able to do things to move their agenda forward, our government has no right to have agendas. We've delegated very specific powers to them, and that is all they can actually exercise. But they're way outside those bounds. They're doing so many things that are, well, one, unconstitutional, and two, treasonous. The fact that they're allowing and been allowing for 30 years, even going back further than that, for allowing invaders to walk across, whether they be migrant workers, and even having a process. If you're a migrant worker, you can't be a migrant worker if you just come here without going through INS and the port of entry and saying, I'm coming here to be a migrant worker. You have to at least check in with the government. You have to do that. If you're not a citizen, you have no jurisdiction here. You have no right to be here. We've just kind of turned everything upside down. And as I said, if you haven't read it yet, because I haven't posted it yet, but what I will do today, because I had some other things I had to do yesterday, I will get these two constitutional minutes up. I'm actually going to put up the documents as soon as I get them, and I will let you know when we've got them posted. so I do have the documents because I am going through it, but just getting the time to get the IT work done. You know, hey, folks, I can't even afford to pay my own attention. So anyway, and I'm kidding. I do need to actually start getting some of this stuff done, but I had to take care of some important things because I think every guy out there understands the importance when you get a honeydew, you got to take care of the honeydew so you can get your honeydews. Anyway, let me move forward, and I will try to drag this frog along with me. As you know, this is the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. We're actually keeping you informed on things that can actually change our current situation. And as you know, the show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. Fortitude Financial Coaching. Fortitude Financial Coaching. If you're ready to take that leap of independence, getting yourself out of debt and no longer being subject or servitude to some corporate banking system such as Citibank or so forth, call Gary Smith, Fortitude Financial Coaching. Free Constitution classes at Constitution Education US, Timber Nation, timbernation.com. Radio Dust Covers, it's radiodustcovers.com. And my advice to you is when you are listening to the show and there's something that really you want to keep this, you need to write the day down and then go grab it off of the Red State Talk Radio podcast page, because that is how you can have it. We do not go into it because I just don't have the time to sit down and try to cover and create a little synopsis or an abstract of what the show's about. There's plenty of information, and as far as I'm concerned, I think every show has gold nuggets in them, but that's not for gold nuggets of entertainment. It's gold nuggets of information. So let me move forward as we make the biggest attempt we possibly can to try to get you informed with what Bob Scholz has done. Now, this is section two. Whether the panel's decision judicially repealed constitutional accountability and, by extension, an essential principle underlying our constitutional republic, checks and balances. The panel's judgment in part, quote, finally, the district court correctly determined the complaint did not challenge Congress's alleged failure to respond to the appellant's petition because the complainant does not set forward such a claim nor seek any relief in conjunction with the alleged failure to respond. However, in the complaint, that was close quote. However, in the complaint, under the heading Factual Background, appellants detailed the contents of the subject First Amendment petition for redress of grievances of the electors and guarantee clauses of the Constitution and the extraordinary steps taken by plaintiffs beginning on December 1820 to ensure all members of Congress were served with a copy of the petition signed by citizen voters residing in all 50 states and do so. So this was a big, huge public plea to the court, actually to Congress, and now to the court, and do so days before January 6, 2021, when Congress was scheduled to meet to count the votes by the Electoral College. The petition included, as an attachment, a thorough review of the historical record of the right of petition, including ample evidence of the obligation of the government to respond. In appellant's January 2nd, 2021 letter that transmitted the petition to each and every member of Congress, the appellants wrote in relevant part, quote, annexed hereto, directed to the Congress of the United States of America, is a First Amendment petition for redress of violations of the guarantee and electors clause of the Constitution for the United States of America. Now, I hope you understand here that, you know, when you go out and protest, all you're doing is, excuse the expression, bitching and whining. What you have to do is you actually have to go in, you have to articulate your argument that, excuse me, what they're doing is a violation of the law. and that there is a process of what they should have been doing, and that's what you expect them to do to fix this problem. But you have to lead all of this off with this whole part of this is a First Amendment petition. Why? Because government is completely insensitive and does not recognize the fact that we have this First Amendment right. So you have to remind them, oh, hey, you know what? I'm exercising the constitutional right, which is protected. You have to respond. Because unfortunately, when people go up and they actually petition government, if you don't tell them it's a First Amendment petition, then they think they can get away with ignoring it. This is where we are as far as the progress of government turning its back on its people and being able to believe they can do whatever they choose. So, moving on. Together with the names and addresses of citizens from each and every state in the Union who have signed the petition speaks for itself. Should the Congress not publicly respond to the petition by refuting said evidence or granting the relief requested therein, but instead to go on and ratify the 12-14-2020 vote of the Electoral College, ratification would add credence to the belief held by a growing number of Americans that their government is not the government we the people instituted. Emphasis added. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so here we got Bob in his appeal. I'll just say, yeah, slapping the court in the face because he says the petition speaks for itself. Should the Congress not publicly respond to the petition by refuting said evidence or granting the relief requested therein, but instead go on and ratify the Electoral College vote? I'm just kind of skimming over that. Ratification would add credence to the belief held by a growing number of Americans that their government is not the government we the people instituted. Appellants made clear the fact that the purpose of the petition for redress was to hold Congress accountable to the electors and the guarantee clauses of the Constitution. Congress did not respond, forcing appellates to seek relief from the court. Appellate's complaint, filed on February 17, 2021, included a copy of the entire petition for redress, including its attachments, A-17, TAC-82. In their complaint, under an argument, A-10, appellants argued that under the appellant clause of the First Amendment, Congress had a duty to respond to the petition when given an opportunity to do so. You know, they had an opportunity. As a matter of fact, folks, let me stop right here. Do you remember January 6th and the what we witnessed in front of all of the cameras, and then later on what we witnessed? Now, here we gave them evidence. We gave them evidence that this was a bogus electoral college. And as a matter of fact, Ballotpedia provided most of all of these resources because they were able to pull in how the manipulation of the upcoming election for both the primary and the general election was manipulated by non-authoritative people in changing the manner of how we vote. The only people that can change the manner in how we vote for president, especially for president, are the state legislators. There is no latitude given to Congress whatsoever in determining how we, the people, will choose our electors that will choose our president. It's that big. It's that important. So as we start looking at what basically he's talking about here, this petition, and we look at what we saw, let me ask you, do you remember what Ted Cruz said? Ted Cruz did not, nobody there pointed to this huge, I'll just say, pile of evidence that we had 401 electors unconstitutionally chosen because the manner was changed outside the purview and outside the cognizance and authority of the state legislators. You want to call it a technicality? No, I call it the law. The Constitution is very clear. You want to change the manner of how we choose our electors? You need to get the state legislators to do that. We're not trying to, you know, nitpick here. This is the law. And when we had 31 states do this, they disqualified the Electoral College because we didn't have enough actual constitutional electors out there to choose a president. You need 270. There was only like 130 some odd. There's only 130 some odd constitutional electors. Okay, so moving on. Service of the petition on Congress by the people with its declaration of the violations of the Elector Clause was such an act as naturally to call for comment from Congress, if not true. It has been proper and possible. Not even Pence mentioned this, and he received a copy as well. We have the evidence that every person, it's not like we just kind of sent an email. They were all served with the papers. Here is a First Amendment petition. And they completely ignored it. They knew they had to ignore it to move this forward. So the question, you know, that I start thinking of is, wow, if this actually goes through, we get Biden removed. The first thing Trump has to do is get rid of Pence. You know, I know yesterday it was kind of going on and on, but if you understand this little bunny story about, you know, the Pence family and having this adopted pet bunny, this bunny was utilized in promoting homosexuality. Go check it out. I'm not kidding. And the fact that the Pences, because they're tolerant and they embrace those things. So Trump's got to find out what he's going to do, or if he actually has to figure out who he's going to make his vice president. Anyway, back to the petition, or actually the appeal. It has been proper and possible for Congress to assert the People's Declaration as untrue. But its silence, Congress has admitted the violations. Appellant's February 17, 2021 letter that transmitted the complaint to each member of Congress reads in part, quote, On January 5, 2021, we had the congressional acceptance site delivered to you at your office, a First Amendment petition for the redress of violations of the Guarantee Clause, the Guarantee and Electors Clauses of the Constitution for the United States of America, together with the names and addresses of the 1,058 citizens responding. I want to be clear. Those were the only ones that Bob Schultz actually provided. What we had done, and if you go back and look, we'll show you, we had actually state legislators mail in plenty of time to the president pro tem and to the Speaker of the House, both the Speaker of the House as well as the president pro tem, which was Vice President Pence, and let them both know, and they petitioned them with these with these exact same petitions. So in other words, they didn't do the electronic sign-on. They actually wanted, as representatives, to declare as a representative of 15,000, 20,000 people. We had several legislators, state legislators, do this. So if you understand, you know, when we look at this 1,058, don't think it was really that small. We had thousands and thousands with state legislators standing up as the injured party, as a matter of fact, because it was their separation of powers that were violated. We know that we had a couple of state legislators from Montana do this. And Montana was one of those that was violated by their separations of power. And in so doing, even though they still swung the way of, you know, having the Electoral College come, the outcome not change, that doesn't matter. The matter is that you cannot allow any form of violation when it comes to another branch of government or another entity within government exercising powers that have not been delegated to them. And so as we look at what to do, because we're actually communicating with Montana as far as what to do and get the Attorney General specifically into this case. The fact of the matter is the Attorney General actually has to go and ban Bullock, because Bullock was the governor at the time who actually did this. This is all documented. And it's well documented that he did it. And so the fact of the matter is the Attorney General needs to go and actually exercise a Section 3 of the 14th Amendment on him to say, because you did this, you violated your oath of office and you knowingly did something that you had no power to do. Therefore, because you did not fulfill your oath of office and committed moral perjury, you are now banned from public service for the remainder of your life. Now, the only way he can have that reinstituted is getting 2/3 of both houses of Congress to reinstitute his ability to be a public servant again. Anyway, moving forward, together with the names and addresses of the 1,058 citizens representing all states in the Union who had signed the petition, no member of Congress has responded to the petition, although constitutionally bound to do so. Therefore, in defense of the Constitution, we have decided to request the assistance of the judicial branch, enclosed herewith in a summons complaint and a motion for an expedient summary judgment. Now, the fact is, does the We the People Foundation, can they speak for 1,000 people? Yes, they can. They can create a petition that everybody else, if they agree, they can sign it. And they can actually petition Congress with this body request. Do they have a right to be responded to? Absolutely. Government is obligated. That's why he already stated that. He included the history and the importance that government must respond. Moving on. A copy of the said February 17, 2021 letter was attached as Exhibit A to the appellate's affidavit filed together with and in support of the appellate's brief. Surely the complaint challenges both Congress's violation of the petition's clause by its failure to respond to the petition and Congress's violation Directors and Guarantee Clause by its inclusion in its count on the votes on January 6, 2021, the votes by electors who were not constitutionally chosen. So I'm just hoping you understand this, that there is a process. He's calling it out, actually. And so what I'm doing is I'm actually highlighting some stuff, but let me move forward, because when you call them out on it and they ignore it, that is absolutely admission that they know they did something wrong and they don't care. And they believe they can get away with this. The whole point that we're really trying to make here, folks, is that you have to start making phone calls. If you want to remove the Biden administration, this is really the opportunity to do it a lot easier than other ways.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so we can get the court to try to do this. I honestly believe that the court, because I said other ways going into break, I honestly believe that we have to have, you need evidence, folks, that the court is and has been the culprit in aggrandizing government's unconstitutional roles and responsibilities and powers. And what we want to do is we want to get this to the Supreme Court to prove even the Trump's three jurists that he added are not constitutional. I truly believe that this process will probably fail. I have more faith that it'll fail, but we still have to do it. We have to prove that we cannot trust any facet of the federal government anymore. The other two ways is the 2023 election, and the outcome of the 2023 election can go two ways. Now, I'm expecting that there will be a red wave and that both sides of Congress will be dominated by the Republicans. So after the election and Congress shifting to the red, or actually I'd like to say parchment instead, we can see that there are two different paths that Congress can go. They can go down the path of impeaching, but what that would do is it would seat an unconstitutionally fit vice president who has no business being in the executive branch as the vice president. Kamala Harris is not a U.S. citizen. She was never naturalized. because she was born here, they just granted her that, but her parents were not under the jurisdiction thereof when she was born. They weren't citizens, so she was never made a citizen. And here is a person that has been walking among us that has been granted an unconstitutional citizenship. Anyway, so they can go down the impeachment path, but that doesn't fix the problem. It doesn't really remove the Biden administration. It just gets rid of Plugs. And if you don't know the story behind that, Plugs, because he was going bald, he actually had hair plugs put in his into his skull so that he could kind of maintain that hair look. Anyway, the other mechanism would be the Congress could go actually make the appeal, both the president pro tem during a joint session of both houses, come together and say, look, we failed to do something. And watch all of the Democrats. They'd probably fall on the ground flailing their arms and legs like babies in a tantrum. No, you can't do this. And probably go to the extremes of violating the law in so many different ways. But bottom line, folks, it's time to start cleaning house. We don't have much time left, and we need to make sure that we do this right. And when I say do this, I mean do this right. So they can actually go into the House and declare that what happened January 6th, 2021 was unconstitutional, that the Electoral College, there was evidence provided to Congress that they failed to acknowledge, and that the leadership, more importantly, that the leadership failed to acknowledge. And at that point, Congress should then vote, because all you need is a majority from Congress to remove Nancy Pelosi and to remove Pence. Bar both of them from public service and basically say, okay, Newsom, send us somebody that's going to do their job in accordance with the Constitution. And Pence would never ever be eligible to become a president again, because you only need a majority. To reinstate them, you need a two-thirds majority. But a simple majority is all they need to do to remove them, to basically find them guilty of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment and say you are no longer qualified to ever serve as a public servant. How about that? Okay, so we get rid of those two. Then they go into chambers, execute the 12th Amendment, and the House would come out, and we would have Trump as president, and we would instantly, and Congress would need to, at that point in time, I believe the Speaker of the House would have to serve as the interim president for a day or whatever that is, until Trump can actually get up there, get sworn in, and get the Biden family and everybody else out of the White House. Now, here's the thing, folks. If Trump comes in and does not clean house this time, if he does not clean out the intelligence community of all of its leadership, if he doesn't clean out the White House and every single member of its staff, and as a matter of fact, he would probably be better served if he told America that he's going to function out of a different White House. I would go to Nebraska. I would go to somewhere where you know that the people in that area that you would hire to be your cooks and those other people that would be working in support of the White House operations, at least those people won't be spying on you. You won't have all of the problems that we currently know are baked into the White House. And then we can actually start having a conversation about all of the rest of the deep state. And if Trump doesn't actually start pushing forward in draining the swamp, he gave us a lot of rhetoric, then we need somebody to initiate a campaign for 2024 so that Trump does not get reelected. Because, oh, by the way, because he will not be filling, if this happens in 2023, he will be serving less than 2 years to be reinstated as president and will be eligible for reelection in 2024. I believe we need to challenge him and actually move this nation in the direction it needs to go. It's time. It is time to put moderation away. It is time to actually start living by the letter of the law, the U.S. Constitution. We have to do this to get the heels of the jackbooted thug government off of the necks of our pastors, our ministers, and so forth and so on. Why? Why? Because we can't spiritually heal this nation with that heel, with that foot holding us down. We have to get government off of our backs. The only way we're going to fix our education, you hear these people talking. Fox News is running a special on disinformation of America, or the indoctrination in the school system that's going on all this week. That's what they're doing. But they're not actually identifying that we absolutely have to dismantle the problem. They're not even going to mention that what is going on is unconstitutional. The federal government has no dog in this fight. They have no power delegated to them to even be involved in this. This is how bad our even the conservative news and conservative entertainment is. This is why, I mean, once you start really understanding, it's kind of like a real wake-up call. When I started really putting this all together, this was like in the late 80s, early 90s, when everything started coming, to surface, especially with the first Gulf War pending. I mean, that's when I really, really started reading and doing more research than I'd ever done before regarding our government, the Constitution, and so forth. And I finally found and started understanding in 1990, I had a hard time sleeping. There was a long time where I could not sleep, just because when you start understanding how evil and what's going on and how dark this is, it really concerns you. All of a sudden you go, man, I know something. I should know this, and this is really bad. And you start, looking around. Does somebody know that I know? And you get paranoid. And you really start fearing for your life. You're afraid to even talk about it because it's that bad. Back to this appellate, or I should say the appeal to the appellate court. Surely the relief requested by the appellants in their complaint is designed to remedy both violations. The panel's decision must be reversed, for it judicially repeals constitutional accountability via the petition clause, a most important check and balance, thereby shifting the ultimate power, the ultimate power in our society from the people to the government, where it is not intended to reside. Section 3, I believe there's this, and then there's the conclusion. So Section 3. Whether the federal RAP applies to this case. And so what does it say? What does that mean? The Federal Rules of the Appellate Procedure 10 declares the original papers and exhibits filed in the district court constitute the record on appeal. Application of said rule to this case would be unfair and highly prejudicial to the applicants. Surely, the rule has not been meant to apply to a case like this where the defendants have never been heard from their properly served with one, a legally complainant that cited the court's jurisdiction and included sufficient factual evidence proving defendants' violation of the Constitution, and two, a court summons directing them to respond to the complaint, and three, a motion for summary judgment, and four, a motion for default judgment. So here's the interesting thing. As you just pointed out, and the most important little part that we want to actually point out to you is that when this was a classic Stonewall case, because when he filed his complaint with the D.C. District Court, what did they do? Did they basically say, because before they even take any action, before they even forward off the sincereness that this is a legitimate case, they have to question jurisdiction. That is the very first thing that they're supposed to do. And what did they say here? A court summons directing Congress to respond to the complaint. In other words, they validated this case that it was going to go forward in telling Congress they had to respond. Instead, if they really felt that there was no standing, they should have dismissed it under no standing, like they did all the other cases. And this is where they got blood on their hands.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so blood on their hands. Blood on their hands, you say, GR. Yes. Now, whether you want to call it hyperbolic or hyperbole, I don't care. Is that rhetoric? Am I just basically making and aggrandizing something that really isn't that big? Yes, this is not hyperbolic. This is factual. When I say blood on their hands, how many people have died because of this administration's handling and forcing? And I will tell you that Trump's got, he's going to have to answer to this as well. Why did the CDC set up the protocols for COVID? Why have so many people died? And under Trump's watch, people died by going into, but here's the fact. Trump doesn't have any control anything other than over the CDC and over these other agencies, and he kind of held back on that. It's not like he used the federal government to help promote this progressive lockdown. And as a matter of fact, he started talking about, you know, we need to start lightening up here. Fact of the matter is that it was Biden who came in and actually ratcheted down the lockstep even further and further and further, trying to create these mandates, forcing people to be vaccinated. It's one thing to ask. You know, I love this meme that's going around. The fourth booster shot is a shot that basically tells you that the first three have failed. What makes you think that the fourth one is going to actually work? Because they're not designed to work. They're actually working as intended. They want to help keep and perpetuate people dying. You know, that actually, again, even sounds hyperbolic or hyperbole, whatever you want to call it. It's not. The fact is that what they're doing is not trying to put an end to the virus and building an immunity. What they're doing, and the evidence is there, more and more people that have had the shots are dying. I read these statistics. It's shocking. 50% of the people dying are those who are vaccinated in some countries. And in other countries, it's even more because they have a higher citizen vaccination rate. Are you kidding me? And the interesting thing is the nations that have the highest citizen rate of vaccinations are European, and as a matter of fact, the most draconian nations with the most draconian procedures and lockdowns and so forth are all former or current commonwealths of the British royalty. In other words, Canada, Australia, so forth and so on. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, if you start looking and you start understanding, go read the Bible. Go look at how many monarchs there are and figure out what is the monarch that controls all monarchs of the world. You'll start putting pieces together and you'll start realizing, wow, you know, and why is it that America is trying to follow that? Well, anyway, I don't want to get down that path because there's plenty of documents and there's plenty of things that will actually take you down that path yourselves. So please, by all means, go find those things. But what I was basically saying is a court summons directing them to respond to the complainant. Right there, they admitted the legitimacy of this case. Then they came back and said, uh-oh, no standing. I think somebody whispered in their ear that you need to get rid of this case and just make this thing go away. And that's why the appellate court has done this. We have no justice. You know that saying, no peace, no justice? We really don't have. I mean, it is hyperbole on the left. They can't say, minorities and so forth cannot say that America has not bent over as far as most of the people of America. Yes, the Democrats have always been murderers. They have always been, you know, slave owners, or that paradigm has always been an oppressive paradigm. And why is it that they're clinging to that paradigm? Why is it that they're supporting that paradigm? Because they've been duped. Anyway, surely the rule, back to this appeal, surely the rule was not meant to apply to a case like this where there was no defense, no response at all by defendants, much less an opportunity for plaintiffs to reply. No response, the only response to the complaint, besides the district court's issuance of the summons ordering defendants to respond or face a default judgment, came from the district court in the form of a memorandum opinion and order filed on June 16th, 2021 that concluded, quote, In sum, the plaintiffs have failed to establish Article III standing. As a result, this court lacks jurisdiction over this action. The clerk of the court shall close this case. What? When they actually, by the district court, forwarding it, saying you have to respond. They're sweeping this under the rugs, folks. Under those circumstances, plaintiffs' reply papers could not be filed in the district court. They had to be filed at the Court of Appeals. Those papers could not be part of, quote, the original papers and exhibits filed in the district court, close quote. In light of the ongoing constitutional crisis at the heart of the complaint, plaintiffs immediately appealed to the Court of Appeals from the district court's order. You know, Bob Schultz is doing everything he can to protect you and our liberty. And I'm here to tell you that, you know, I implore you, if you can throw him some love, please do so. Because this was very expensive for him. He had money that I didn't have to be able to do this or support this. I mean, I'm able to support myself in giving you this information. I'm able to support myself on a daily basis so that you can actually learn what you need to know and what we need to do and go kick butt and take this country back. And, you know, it's been a privilege working with people like John Durash, Bob Schultz, and many others, Mark Lerner of the Constitutional Alliance. I mean, I don't want to say our influence, but our engagement and alliance is growing and growing by the day. One of the things I mentioned, and I'm taking another aside here, so forgive me. But I mentioned in this meeting with these militia leaders, these patriots, I'll just call them a leader of patriots, trying to figure out what to do to protect and save their counties from going down with the ship. And one of the things that I've really tried to drive and tried to emphasize is that we absolutely need to start uniting on the Constitution. There are plenty of myopic organizations out there that want and are struggling to maintain any form of relevance of themselves. And so I submit to you that those organizations that are not unifiers, and you can find them, there are lots of conservative organizations, and I'll name two big ones. They will refuse to unify and work with everybody else in coming together on the Constitution. And that's the Second Amendment, or not the Second Amendment, the NRA, National Rifle Association, and the John Birch Society. There are plenty of other organizations that are equally myopic, and they're so large that they refuse to do or work with. You know, we even have Eagle Forum presidents that actually support what we're doing, and they agree, and they're not trying to backstab us and trying to lie about us. The fact of the matter is, folks, you got to start ditching these organizations that are controlling the opposition, because they're, when I say controlling the opposition, if they're not unifying, they're a part of the opposition. If you're not a part of the solution, you're a part of the problem. And that's exactly where they are. They don't want to unite. They don't want to bring everybody together and demand full compliance to the Constitution. You know, it's funny. You get to all this lip service from some of these organizations to say, no, we don't want a convention of states, but they don't want to solve the problem either. So why is it that we give them this relevance? We got to take away their membership and move it towards unifying, enforcing compliance. They're right, the Convention of States, and we'll get into this when we have time, but there's far more pressing issues. The Convention of States is the inappropriate, as a matter of fact, I don't believe with Republic Review and with what Madison and Jefferson could, had they done this, I think they would have been able to actually put it down in concrete that they could have removed the Article 5 convention process altogether. Because we do not need the states being able to send delegates to open up the Constitution, to basically liquefy it and reform it any way they want to. As Madison called it, when you have that kind of condition, it basically turns this pot into clay again and allows them to reform it. We can't allow that. More importantly, you know, when you start looking at the opportunities of what Republic Review would do, you can actually start seeing how all of these problems get solved. We just don't try, you know, like this balanced budget amendment. Are you kidding me? They have no right to be able to spend a penny on anything that's not enumerated. And so we shouldn't have to say, well, please, you know, keep your spending down to this. No, you don't keep your spending down to this. You keep your spending on enumerated powers and only enumerated powers. That shuts down this runaway press of money as well. Because if you look, it's always about spending money. Now, we have a couple more pages to go through. So in our next episode, we're going to close this out and let you know what you need to do tomorrow in getting involved so that we can have this up on the website so you can get directly involved. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.